You're listening to It's Poppin' with Franny the Film Snob.
There we go.
Okay. Greetings and salutations, moviegoers. I am Franny the Film Snob.
And I'm with Steve.
With Steve.
That was
your build up there, Steve.
I know. I'm
as
sorry.
You can see, we're very rusty. It's been a while.
Just a little bit.
A lot has happened since the last video we did, which was about Jojo Rabbit. After that recording, an apocalypse happened. I finally, along with Steve, we both dragged ourselves out of our pits of despair. We're dangling over the edge of that dark well, but we still decided to do this podcast.
Yes. especially since we've been like teasing it for months, I guess, pretty much.
Yeah, we promised. I wanted to do something that had to do with apocalyptic death, but you know, Steve was like, no, come on. Some type of structure, Franny. So
let's lighten it up a little bit.
Right. Stop with this doom and gloom. Give these people what they want. So without further ado, we're talking about What We Do in the Shadows.
The movie.
Yes, the movie.
Don't sing if you want to live long. They have no use for your song. You're dead, you're dead, you're dead, you're dead and out of this world.
By the way, cheers, Steve. I am drinking my aviation gin with some lemon and
very nice.
Seltzer water. Are you partaking in any poisons?
I got a little bit of whiskey. I'm just chilling.
Nice. That's what keeps us going.
Exactly. Every now and then, it's okay.
It's our happy juice, man.
Exactly. It's a very happy juice, especially, you know, since we are talking about some happy shit today.
Right. Oh, man, I had to go back and rewatch this movie because I started meshing the movie and the TV show together. I didn't realize until I went back. It was like, oh, shit, I was talking about the TV show and the movie.
Yeah, it's a huge difference.
Yes. Yes and no. Like, it is a huge difference when you're trying to lay down the facts for listeners and trying to sell the movie, and then they go watch it and they're like, wait, that vampire's not in that. It's like, oh, wait, no, the show.
Yeah. Like one thing that I kind of like thinking about it, like personally, like I haven't really watched the show. Like, I've seen bits and pieces like online and shit, like clips of it. Mm-hmm. But one thing that I did know is that it is partially done by the same dudes that did the movie.
Watiti.
Yes, and Jermaine. Taika Waititi and Jermaine Clements.
Yes. I love Jermaine from Fly the Conchords.
Oh yeah.
Oh man, he's like the most adorable weirdo. I don't know. I like him weird.
Don't we all? Like it's...
You got a crush on Jermaine too? And as Vlad, he's so hot.
It's the mustache, right? It's the mustache.
Oh, and the hair. And like the little hairy chest. And when he's like, we're dead, but delicious. It's like, oh my God. Yes.
It's such a good movie. It's so good.
And it was written by those two amazing, talented comedians. Absolutely. Yes, they also are a big part of the show. They write and direct, but there's a lot of writers on the show. But
of course, because the thing is, like, you have to also spend it out. Yeah, exactly. through tons of episodes.
But they really picked a great group of creators. But we digress. It's about the movie.
Yes.
And not the show. And the movie only had two writers.
Yes.
So let's kind of get into the whole plot of What We Do in the Shadows. So pretty much before you even go in to watch the movie, you have to know that it is a mockumentary. And it is perfectly, to a T, recorded and documented and edited like a actual documentary.
Yes.
Which I absolutely loved because it felt so, so real.
Yeah. It reminded me a lot of Spinal Tap.
Never seen that.
Oh, well, that's what a must for you.
I'll put a pin in that one. Yeah, Spinal yeah. Tap. Wrote it down. Okay. It reminded me a lot of The Office.
Oh, nice. Okay.
But better. Of because course. It's vampires. And yeah. So it's a mockumentary done perfectly to a T about a secret society. And the months before, they go to this amazing event that they have in New Zealand called the Unholy Masquerade.
Mm-hmm.
And what I thought was really great and original and just like inspiring, because I feel like they kind of rejuvenated the whole franchise of monsters and mystical beings and like brought them into the realm of reality.
Right.
Almost like Interview with the Vampire did and achieved in its time when it came out. Mm-hmm. I feel like this is kind of on the same spectrum, but on a comedy side.
Right. Making... Yeah, that's one thing that we haven't really seen in a while, because like all the vampires have always been like some serious or like an action movie or something like that. But the fact that they made this completely different and made it more comical made it that much better.
Yeah, and also believability was yes. something that no horror movie really did in terms of making them feel like real people, making you be able to relate. Usually when you watch a horror movie like The Lost Boys, you know, or let me see, My Friend's a Vampire, you or Once Bitten was really funny. But for some reason, those movies didn't really feel real, like you could relate. And in what they do in the shadows, they literally are like regular people, but they're vampires.
Yeah, that's pretty much, it's a good way to explain it, yeah.
Right, and you deal with their day-to-day problems. Meanwhile, in every other vampire movie, it's the glory of being a vampire, or fighting off the vampires, or not trying to be turned by the vampires. Mm-hmm. But like I said, the only thing that kind of touched on the humane part, right, of mm-hmm. a vampire, is that the word? Yeah. The humanity.
The humanity, exactly.
Of the undead has never really been done.
As they said in the movie, they're predeceased versions.
Yes, of themselves. Yeah. Yes, and no one's really done that besides Anne Rice, and it was only about one vampire and his experience. It was Louis. Experiences mm-hmm. and he was getting interviewed by a reporter. So What We Do in the Shadows took that shit to the next level.
It really did.
And wrapped it up in pure comedy and also made these vampires awkward. They're awkward. Very awkward, you know.
Hell yeah. it made them look like, if it kind of reminded me a little bit of the In Crowd or the IT Crowd.
Have you? No, I don't.
The IT Crowd is another like super awkward group of dudes, of course, because you know they're IT dudes.
I just think of like the IT team on the phone, you know.
And right, exactly, exactly. But if, when you get a chance, watch the IT Crowd. That's actually very, it has a feel of how the characters would be in that.
Okay, I totally got to write that one down.
There you go, another pin in something else.
Right? I thought I've seen it all. I stand mistaken. Damn you, Steve!
I watched a lot of shit.
Making me feel better! but besides just vampires, which is what I was kind of getting at, was it's monsters. They shine the light on vampires and they follow three housemates or flatmates that have been flatmates since 1946.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. But the people or the creatures at the party, at the masquerade, when that finally happens, is banshees, witches, zombies,
mm-hmm.
Demons. And that just kind of like really tickled my horror fancy, because the only thing that that even remotely reminded me of was Monster Squad.
Oh, yes, that's right.
That was the only time a movie brought together all these creatures, you know?
Yeah,
you don't True Blood tried to do it, but, you know, it was here and there, and, they got weird with Billis, and I fell off. But when they had the unmasking masquerade, Monster Squad was the first thing that popped into my mind.
Okay. That's fair. Because I don't remember a lot of Monster Squad. I saw that, like, way back in the day. So, like, just thinking about it, like, okay, yeah, that makes sense. It does make a lot of sense. Because
Monster really Squad had Dracula, the Wolfman, Dracula's Bride, Swamp mm-hmm. Thing, the Mummy, Frankenstein.
Yeah, that's a lot, yeah.
All under one roof. It wasn't a party, but, so I thought that was just magical. all in itself. And that's not even breaking down the layers and the eccentric characters that just the flatmates alone have. So we had Viggo, right?
Yes.
We had Viggo, who is 379 years old.
Mm-hmm.
It was his place. He's like the main flatmate. Then we had Deacon. We had Vlad the poker. And we had Peter. And Peter was literally like
a Nosferatu.
Yeah, yeah. He was the old school rotten demon corpse of vampires. He was still very dangerous. Even the housemates were still kind of scared of him.
Uh-huh.
And I loved that. It just felt so real. And the opening scene is them arguing about bloody dishes. And then when the camera pans over, the dishes are bloodied.
Yeah.
So, like, the humor is just charming and witty off the bat.
Yeah. Just from the beginning. Like, there's always, like,
that's
like,
literally just the joking. Beginning,
and they're just literally, like, not just that, but it's, like, little subtle jokes that go throughout the entire thing. They're just like, oh shit, I could have missed that if I wasn't really paying attention.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot that I wound up seeing in the movie that, like, I was like, oh shit, I didn't see that the first time I saw it, or the second time that I saw that, or even a third time.
What was one of them that you noticed that you didn't notice before?
At the very beginning, because I was laughing at the other shit, when he was like, oh yeah, we usually get people clothing from other people. I'm like, yeah, don't we look sexy? Like, very sexy.
And the shirt has blood splatter on it, and it's like a hole.
Uh-huh. or the fucking when he's like, oh yeah, the only thing that we only have to judge each other. We can't go by the mirror and look in the mirror, because of course we have no fucking shadow. So, like, or a reflection. I'm like, okay, great. That makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They lay down all the problems of being a vampire. They uh-huh. also share their stories of how they became vampires,
which was great.
Which was, they were all made in different periods in time, uh-huh. and that reflected in their personalities. So that also shows great character development.
Uh-huh. Now, my favorite was Deacon, how he was a Nazi vampire.
Yeah. My favorite was Vlad, how he was so powerful. He was so powerful. He was kind of like the guy that they based Dracula off of. You know, Vlad the poker, because he had a torture chamber and he would slowly stab people to death as he drained their blood. And he was able to transform. He was able to hypnotize and make orgies happen. Because he was also a huge pervert. But then he loses his mojo. He loses his confidence because of a breakup. And now he can't get the faces right. And he can't hypnotize anybody. And I was like, that's just fucking great. You just humanized the fucking undead.
Yeah. When he turned into a cat on the couch.
Yeah.
I was dying.
When they're chasing after... what was his name? They're chasing after the hipster the hipster dude that they end up turning into a vampire.
Oh yeah. Well, they just before he like leaves the house after they try to feed him the Pisquetti's,
the worms. Oh, they give a shout out to Lost Boys. Yeah. They do the mind trick with the maggots, but they do the worms, and then they turn his dick into a snake. And that's when he goes, "I'm leaving." That's just not right. That's when he drew the line.
You're like, okay, this is a little too much, you guys.
I fell in love with the movie immediately. I feel like it really brought back the vampire franchise because it's been garbage for a long time.
Hot garbage.
And I found it so refreshing, man. Like watching Absolutely. It really lifted my spirits to see these these vampires. You know what's so funny? It's probably gonna give something away, so I'm gonna say spoilers for the TV show. But yeah, you think they're misfits when you watch them in our world in the movie, and then when you see them again in their vampire world, they're not.
Really? Okay.
So that's like another thing that I thought was really amazing is that, you know, like how people say, oh, when you're at work, you're one way. But then when you're at home with your friends, you're another way. And no one really knows who you are, blah, right, blah. Yeah. They actually kind of took that concept with the TV show and the movie, because in the TV show, you see what they do actually for work in the vampire society compared to how we saw them just chilling amongst each other at home. And you go, holy shit. They are still misfits, but in the vampire world at work, they're boss, you know, and like their arrogance that they have in the flat, you know, and the way they work things, kind of like you go, oh, okay, but because you're getting them behind the closed doors, they totally come off eccentric because that's who they really are, you know.
Okay, I got you. See, now I gotta watch this.
Yeah, it's so good. You really have to watch the TV show and the movie, guys, to get like the whole experience of how creatively epic this is. It's just fantastic, and I hope it inspires a whole lot of new writers to come up with just as inventive and creative ideas for a franchise. Like that's what I've always wanted from any remake or any reboot. I wanted them to make it better, flourish it, you know, like a fucking beautiful flower garden. Nurture it, let it blossom into something beautiful.
That's the best way to do it. You're absolutely right.
And these guys showed the world how it's done, man. They really fucking dropped the mic. There's werewolves.
Yes, I was just about to say, like, yo, you didn't mention the werewolves, which was kind of like one of my favorite parts of the movie. Me too. Like, I'm a huge fan of Rhys Darby's. He's fucking great. The fact that he's hilarious in everything that he does, whether it's fucking, like, whether it's animated or fucking movies or anything. He's fucking great. So, see, when I first saw him, and I was like, oh, shit, he's in this. And it was great. And the fact that he's like the alpha male
was fucking fantastic. We are not swearwolves. We are werewolves.
It was amazing. It was great.
Oh my god, it was it's so good, guys. It is and then also they peek into the problems that werewolves deal with being werewolves. You find out that him as the pack leader is trying to get them to wear sweatpants. Yeah, so when they turn into a werewolf, they don't end up naked.
And then they show them when they all turned. He's the only one that's still wearing pants. Everybody else is pantsless because they wore tight jeans.
Right, or khakis. And he's telling them, look what you just did. You just lost another pair of jeans, John. And like it felt real. It felt like this is what... If vampires and werewolves were real, which every kid, at least I wanted it to be real, This is the problems of day-to-day life that they would have. Like constantly being naked, or when he's tying himself, they tie themselves to trees.
So that and way they one don't of them, killing people and shit.
Yeah, one of them is chaining himself to a tree. And the alpha male goes, "That is a scrawny tree. You will snap that tree into a twig. Are you forgetting how big you get when you yeah,
yeah. And then he comes back and say, "Oh yeah, I got a combination lock and I forgot my combination."
Oh my god, it's just fantastic. And that's just the werewolves. That's like we didn't even get into the drama of the vampires.
Yeah, no, we haven't. But the drama between the vampires and the werewolves is fucking great too.
That shit was so funny. They could smell. It was a Deacon. Deacon has the power of like great smell. He's able to smell them like a mile away.
Yeah, it was just when they were walking down the street from coming out of the club the first time.
Mm-hmm.
They were like, "Oh yeah, you smell that? I smell werewolves."
And they start beef with them. That was hilarious. Uh-huh.
Oh, that was so good.
It was good.
It was good to see something else. So another thing that actually showed the dynamic between, you know, werewolves and vampires, because you don't really get that very much. The last time you really saw that was, of course, it was in
Underworld.
Underworld, yes, and also in what was it? Fucking True Blood.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. My favorite though. Wasn't the werewolves in True Blood? My favorite was Sam. Turned himself into a doggy doggy. Shapeshifter. I loved Sam. Sam Merlot. Yes. Yeah,
he was great. He was awesome.
I just remembered the name. Well, I'm lying. I see it in my notes now. He's like written very small somewhere, crammed in the middle. Nick. Nick is the new hipster vampire that is made by Peter during the dinner party that no one can when they stand all run him, out,
yeah.
But they fall in love with his human friend, Stu.
Yep.
Then there was that. There's a dynamic between the new hipster vampire brings in his human friend.
Uh-huh.
And like, it brings a human into the world of the vampires for the first time ever.
Uh-huh. And shit goes awry at that point. Especially when they bring them to the party.
When they bring them to the party. And they were like, it said plus one. You didn't specify non-humans. And they love Stu so much, they fought for him. That was so sweet.
It goes to show you that friendship goes a long way.
Right, right. And you don't have to be prejudiced between vampires and werewolves and humans.
Yeah.
Swearwolves. Oh man, I want to get a shirt that says that.
Right?
Then they also deal with, I love, like, in the realm of making it feel realistic, they deal with the whole fact of how Nick has to sit down and tell his best friend he's a vampire.
Right? Yeah. It's like, oh yeah, we know each other for a while and we've been through shit.
You're my best friend. Yeah, you know that, right?
Yeah. It's like you're coming out telling him that you're gay or some shit.
Right, but it's like, no, I'm a vampire.
Yeah, yeah. Like, you're not going to eat me, right? Like, no, you're cool. You're my homie. Yeah, it was great.
Oh, excuse me. It was amazing. Hell yeah. It was absolutely amazing. What else can we talk about this movie? And funny enough, guys, we didn't give that much away. There is still a lot more.
This is just the beginning of it. Yeah,
this is literally just little nitpicks. The thing is,
we're also just jumping around, not going.
Yeah, yeah, we are. Because honestly, at least for me, if I gave you guys the plot in a nutshell, and then started throwing you really momentous moments. That's still stuck in my head, like branding in my brain. Because I try to break it down from beginning to end, I'm going to give you the whole movie, and this is so worth watching.
And we don't want to give up the whole
movie. We do not want to do that to you guys. But, oh, man. And another part that I loved was they talk about what I've always thought this to myself. What would happen if a zombie did eat food?
Oh, yes.
I always thought that as a kid.
Like, I love chips. I love chips and I can't eat chips.
And you vomit blood profusely. You pretty much end up starving because you purge everything you ate all night.
It's fantastic.
From one bite.
He's like, I'm done with this shit. Fuck this.
He said, being a vampire is overrated. Don't believe the hype. I'm over it.
That was probably one of my favorites, phenomenal. Too. Yeah, it's a great fucking flick, man.
Oh, and there's Vampire Hunters.
Yes, there is a Vampire Hunter.
I almost forgot about that. There is a Vampire Hunter, which means there's more in that universe.
But the thing is, like, it was very, like, it was just, like, open and shut thing. And, like,
it was kind of just to let you know they're there.
Yeah, they're around. So, you know, be aware. But it doesn't really matter.
Don't boast around saying you're a fucking vampire.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
You know, like that movie Twilight? I'm that guy in Twilight.
One of my favorite things in this is when they were trying to get into the club in the beginning.
Oh, yeah. Like, one of the many vampire problems. Invite us. Yeah, invite. No. Tell us. We're invited.
You just walk right in. They're like, no, you can't. You have to tell me to get it. Yeah.
And then the vampire club, where at first, I swear, I thought it was going to be cliche. I thought it was going to be like, you know, they're going to walk into a blade uh-huh, fucking uh-huh. party, yeah, and yeah. it's dead. It's empty.
It's like a
it's a vampire club that's empty and bright.
Uh-huh. Just with like one or two familiars in there.
It looked nothing like what I've seen before.
Uh-huh. It didn't fit into the stereotype or the trope of
at like, all, the regular vampire which... shit. Which was really, which made it hilarious, hilariously mm-hmm. refreshing.
Yeah,
and that too, I almost completely forgot. They actually let us know about the familiars mm-hmm. and the shit that the familiars go through.
Yeah, you watch over all the shit that they have to take care of when they can't do it.
Mm-hmm. And I have to say, these familiars are so lucky that they're not rotting, because a lot of the folklore with vampires, at least like the classic ones, you turn into a familiar, you turn into like an Igor. You slowly mm-hmm. start turning into a zombie. You start right. fucking rotting, which I always thought was pretty cool. But these familiars, they don't go in at angle with the familiars.
No, they just keep them human. They don't.
Yeah.
And they promise them the possibility of actually becoming a vampire. And of course, with the girl that they had, they were like, I don't know. Well, it's hard to eventually.
Right. 4 years.
Yeah.
4 years of her life. Oh, man. It was great. It was great.
Didn't they kind of break the rule or whatever, or break the rule that, you know, she broke the fact that they turned her when somebody else's familiar?
Nick turned her. And he broke the rule because you're not supposed to turn
somebody's
familiar. But Nick is the hipster vampire. He's the newbie. Yeah. He didn't care about the rules.
He's like, whatever, I do what I want.
Right. I'll bring a human to this party of the undead. It may take them all a couple hours to realize he's alive.
Yeah.
Which is what happened. They were fine until... I don't know. They were there for too long.
Yeah.
And everyone started asking questions.
When the zombie was sniffing him at the fucking...
he was like, I'm sorry, not to ask you anything too personal, but are you deceased?
Are you pre-deceased?
Are you pre-deceased? Excuse me. It kind of reminded me of Beetlejuice.
Uh-huh.
When you're in the waiting room waiting to see the lawyer.
Uh-huh.
If I knew then what I knew now, I wouldn't have had my little accident. It was great. It was absolutely phenomenal.
Yeah.
It really took the world of vampires and monsters to a whole new level and humanized them while not diluting them of their original magic. and terror.
Speaking of magic, what they actually fought and got mad at each other and shit. They would float. So they would fly
and hiss. They were flying and hiss. Oh, bad fight. Bad fight.
Yeah. And then just transform into bats and then fucking wind up fighting each other.
It was great. Yeah. And then who was it? Was it Viggo? Viggo had the drinking problem. Mm-hmm. Every time he would bite someone, he would get them directly in their main artery.
He's like, "Oop, my bad. I'm sorry."
And for those of you who may not know, your blood shoots out like a water gun every time your heart beats when you puncture the main artery. So it was like a super soaker going off in his face. And he's trying to drink it because he's starving. And it doesn't look enjoyable at all. And he makes a mess and he wastes a lot of blood. And I thought that was fantastic.
Yeah. It's very sciencey. Something that you don't really expect in a fucking zombie, in a vampire movie.
Right. And then you have Vlad, who's having orgies on the ceiling because he can.
Yeah, of course. Totally right.
And Deacon sleeps in a closet like the Lost Boys, upside down. Mm-hmm. and Peter sleeps in a stone coffin
in the basement.
So their personalities are like wrapped all over every aspect of this film, and I found that very beautiful.
It was great. Yeah, makes you wonder, like, damn, I want to see more. Like, should they have done another movie? But I guess they're doing better now that they didn't do a movie. They just did a whole series.
Yeah, I am so glad they went with the series. I'm so glad that they brought back the magic to the story of the vampires. I used to be, because I fell off, not gonna lie. I used to be a giant, giant fangirl for vampire movies.
Yeah, I'm not gonna lie, I was too.
Twilight came out.
But that was a, yeah.
And
yeah, fuck that movie.
Yeah, I completely just like became very frustrated with the following, and then like Vampire Diaries came, and it just started getting softer and softer and softer and diluted, and I was just like, this is not, you know, hashtag not my vampire. And it kind of faded away, you know, a lost childhood happiness, and now it's back.
Yeah.
I found my happiness.
Yay.
It's in what we do in the shadows. It's about perverted vampires and their day-to-day drama.
Basically, yeah.
It's so real world vampires.
Basically, like a reality show and shit. Fuck yeah.
It's phenomenal. And the TV show continues to take it to the next level without giving too much away and like kind of sprinkling a little more curiosity towards the TV show. They didn't just revive the franchise. They actually start adding more lore to the vampire concept that's actually acceptable. Okay. Like in Twilight, they decided to add the fact that they fucking twinkle and they like to go to school and molest the little girls. I wasn't down for that added bonus to the lore. So
speaking of molesting little girls, the joke about fucking Taika Waititi and the old lady.
Oh yeah. Like, oh.
Their dynamic. They're like, oh yeah. People always say, you know, what about the age difference? Like, oh yeah, I'm just a couple thousand years old, and she's 96. I robbed the cradle. I get it.
I don't care. I don't care. Let them judge. I don't care. We love each other. Yes, and they did that. They made an old lady of 90 something a vampire.
Yeah.
The love of his life. And so in the TV show, they add to the lore. They introduce other types of vampires, other types of vampire situation and culture, and it makes sense. And it blends in to the stuff that we already have learned about vampires in our culture, dating back from myth to books to movies, you know. Okay. And it's great. And I also love the fact that they make Twilight into a joke as much as they can. They bring it up as a joke. Like, I was just watching the first episode and they mentioned something about, I want to buy that glittery powder, that powder that shimmers. And the familiar's like, glitter? He's like, yes, yes. He was like, what do you want it for, master? And he's like, so I can put it all over my body so I can glitter like that guy in Twilight.
Oh, that's funny.
I love it. Yeah. I love it. I love it. This show is so good. It even makes you kind of slightly accept Twilight, even in a sentence, you know?
Slightly. Slightly vampires.
Yeah. 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 You get to laugh at it. That's you get fair. To laugh at it with quote unquote, I'm doing air quotes, real vampires.
The funny thing is, like, I have laughed at it. So I guess I could laugh at it for more reason than that.
Oh, it enraged me. I didn't even laugh at it. It at the time Twilight came out. I remember that day very vividly. My boyfriend at the time forced me to sit down and watch it, and I threw a fit. Like, my God, I threw a natural tantrum and couldn't believe that that was even thought of as an okay concept for a movie, let alone a book. And I wish I laughed at it before, because damn, as I got older, I was like so mad that it made me so mad, because then I meant that like I cared too much. But I love the whole idea of the vampire lore, you know. Right, and then yeah. You gave me this, and at that time it happened to be huge, and it's like, why? Mm-hmm. What's wrong with you people?
Yeah,
you know. And now we know what's wrong with these people.
Yeah, I'm kind of glad that they've strayed away from the vampires and actually like started doing the whole zombie thing, even though the zombie thing is kind of like overrated now.
Because they did the same thing. Yeah. They decided to saturate it with this I don't know, really gross teen pop.
Right.
Yeah. Teen pop. And it's so hard for me to say teen pop, because at a point in time I was a teen.
Yeah.
You know, I was a teeny bopper at some part in my life, but I was watching Lost Boys and Dust Till Dawn and fucking Interview with the Vampire, and
when things were good.
Yeah, like, so yeah. I can't even, I don't even see how teens could like that. It's just
But if you think about it, that's how the older generation would think about when we were watching those movies.
The older generation actually liked those movies. That's why parents used to watch movies with their kids. What are you talking
true.
About?
True. You are right. You are right.
You mean music.
Yeah, that too. That too.
Goes for music. Yeah. I remember my mom used to be like, what the hell are you listening to?
Oh, yeah. They
be like, it's Joe Glass, Ma.
Yeah, they don't get it. Parents just don't understand.
Right. But so this movie, I was going to say the show, this movie, What We Do in the Shadows, was so amazing that it won 26 awards.
Holy shit.
Yes. And the ones that like stood out, of course they didn't win any like here. They won a lot overseas.
Of course, yeah.
They won a lot over there in New Zealand for best self-funded movie. They won, of course, for best production design, which is true. That house was amazing. Mm-hmm. The special effects were so practical. Like, again, mm-hmm. It looked real.
And it was very low budget, too. It was only like $1 million, something like that, like $1.5 million or something like that.
Yeah. And they made back over that, mm-hmm. I believe. And they also won, where is it? I got excited for this because I used to read their oh no, I don't, oh, here it is on the side. Nah, okay. do you remember the it's not Fangoria?
Yes,
Fangoria. They won best screenplay for Fangoria.
Really?
Yes.
That's awesome.
That is amazing, because you know me, I get a huge, you know, boner for amazing screenplays.
Absolutely, yeah. That's fair. There's nothing wrong with that. That's boner worthy.
Thank you. Showing.
right about the budget. It was actually $1.6 million.
And was I right about they doubled that? They made back a lot more than they put in.
The U.S. box office was actually $7 million.
Okay.
So yeah, a little more than double.
All right. Yeah. Same research. Yeah. I put some effort into this. All right. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, guys, that's pretty much all the admiration I got for this movie, What We Do in the Shadows. I absolutely love it. I think it's epically awesome. It is definitely DVD worthy.
Yeah, it's definitely DVD worthy because I don't think it's streaming anywhere either right now.
So. No, it's not. I couldn't even rent it. I could only buy it. So I'm glad I got my hands on it.
And but it's I'm definitely glad, worth the purchase, yeah.
Hell yeah, definitely. Add it to my collection. Mm-hmm. I realized that I need to up my collection since the quarantine because streaming has become very difficult because everyone and their mom is online. So
yeah, that'll do it.
I've spent $300 already on Blu-rays and DVDs. Oh, yeah. Quarantine life, yeah.
Yay.
So you got anything else to add, Steve?
Yeah, you had asked me to write down some of my favorite vampire movies.
Yes, yes, your top five.
Yes. So I'm going to go with one of my favorite vampire movies is the original Fright Night.
That's a good one. That's a classic.
Yeah.
I actually didn't see the remake.
The remake is actually pretty good too.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
It's not fantastic, but it's actually pretty good. That one's really good. Buffy the Vampire Slayer is another one of my favorites.
Oh man, that's on my list.
Yeah. From Dusk Till Dawn.
That's a good one. I love that. That's one of my honorable mentions.
The next one is actually one of my favorites, and I actually absolutely love the remake of it. And that's Let the Right One In.
Never seen it.
Oh, it's so good. The remake is, of course, it's done in the U.S. and actually stars Chloe Grace Moretz. That's really good, too. Both really good watches. It's very dark because it's about a kid vampire and how it's trying to live its regular life, trying to move around from place to place because it doesn't have a family.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so it's very dark, very sad, but it's actually a really, really good movie. So you should check that one out. Check out the original before you watch the remake, and then you could see the subtle differences in both. So those are pretty good. And then the Blade series. Had to go with the series because can't just go with one. Yeah, so those are my top five. What are yours?
Mine are okay. I'm gonna start five and up. Okay. So, Vampire in Brooklyn.
Yes, that was my honorable
favorite, favorite vampire movies. I always wanted them to make one with his familiar becoming a vampire. I so badly wanted that, but apparently it bombed and wasn't really taken in well by critics because they're fucking morons, because it was amazing. I thought it was a fantastic original concept.
It really was.
And that's the only movie I find Eddie Murphy desirable sexually.
Just add fangs, it'll happen.
The other one is you took it, Buffy the Vampire Slayer, the movie.
Yes.
That is Pee Wee Herman, man. Pee Wee Herman has a vampire all day, every day. Okay, that was
Pee Wee doesn't let anything.
That was great. Let me see. That's 5, 4. 3 is Lost Boys.
Okay.
Two. two was difficult. I didn't know if I should put Dust Till Dawn or Once Bitten.
Okay.
So I kind of have both of those on there, and I was like, that's a dramatic switch. So since you did Dust Till Dawn, I'm going to go with Once Bitten. For those okay. of you who don't know what that is, that's a vampire movie with Jim Carrey.
Oh, yeah, that was one of his first movies, too.
Yes. Gorgeous. And number one is Lost Boys.
You said Lost Boys already, though.
Oh, I put them as number three. Oh, what we do in the shadows?
It's a good way to round it out.
What we do in the shadows is my now number one pick.
Another honorable mention for me is Blackula.
Never seen that. And another honorable mention for me would be Interview with the Vampire.
Yeah, yeah. Another honorable mention for me that people say otherwise is actually The Queen of the Damned, and mostly because of the soundtrack.
Soundtrack doesn't count. That would be another list for another day. That movie was awful.
It's one of those guilty pleasures. I actually enjoy watching it.
Oh my! You know, I tried. I thought maybe because I love the soundtrack, like slurp that soundtrack all in. can never get enough of it. Knew all the words. Really added to my gothic appeal back in 2000.
Yeah.
And I still absolutely hated it. And it was so funny because I was watching it on a date night with my ex, and I was like, you know, let's watch it. You know, the music is hot. I haven't seen it in forever. Maybe I'll see it differently. You know, maybe it could be a guilty pleasure because I love Blade 3 with Ryan Reynolds. I know it's awful, but it is one of my guilty pleasures. It's so good. I love it. But no, halfway through it, I was like, I'm sorry, I can't. It's killing the mood. And he started laughing his ass off. He was like, really? I was like, nope.
He's like, it's not killing my mood.
Yeah, he was like, I think it's okay. I was like, nah, I can't. And we had to go and watch Interview with the Vampire. I tried, you know?
I'm glad you tried, at least.
I at least tried, and I just can't. So. Yep. At least I could say I tried. I got up to when the chick tries to go to the hidden club.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That's as far as I got. And like, I just, nope. Mojo was gone. It was just like, I started getting like traumatic flashbacks of sitting in the theater as a teen. Going, this is not the book.
yeah, pretty much. It
really wasn't. The soundtrack came out before the movie did.
Yeah. Just before. It was like a week or two before.
Yep. So, and I went with my godmother to see it, and I leaned over to her and was like, would you get mad if I said let's leave? And she said, yes, I paid money for this. I said, okay. And sat back and just endured.
Like, okay, I'm gonna go to sleep now.
I wish I was tired. I just stood there like traumatized.
Yeah, that's fair. Oh, I forgot to mention another one of my favorites, and that's a whole series actually. It's the Underworld.
Oh, yeah.
Just the Underworld series in general, because like there's so many of them. They're just fucking great. Like there are some hit and misses throughout the entire thing.
Right.
But overall, they're great still.
They're fun. They're not on my list because, sadly enough, there was nothing about them that I remembered besides when we got ourselves a vampire werewolf. That ending fight from the first movie is the only thing that, like, resonates in my brain. But yeah, I mean, I don't remember having any complaints. One of my favorite fun vampire movies that whenever it would be on cable TV, I would watch it was My Friend's a Vampire.
Well, that was a fun one too. Another one that's really fun that people shit on me for watching it too is fucking The Vampire's Assistant.
I've never seen that.
It's with John C. Reilly and fucking Jay Baruchel.
Oh, okay.
It's a pretty fun movie.
It's another
comedy ish, but it's pretty cool. It's pretty fun. It's Jay Baruchel,
and right, Shake and Bake.
Yeah, exactly.
Boats and Hoes.
Exactly. With fangs.
That just sounds like so much fun.
It really is. It really is. You should go check it out.
Oh, what was it? It was another vampire movie that I like, and it's a guilty pleasure because it's fucking bad. Is it's Tales from the Crypts, Bordello of Blood.
Yeah, that was another one.
Yes, that was one of my favorites as a kid.
When you weren't supposed to be watching them?
Huh?
When you weren't supposed to be watching them?
Oh, every single horror movie I was watching, I wasn't supposed to be watching them. That's what independent movie rental stores were made of.
Exactly.
Rated R?
Let me get the card. I'll be right back.
What? I would just go up there and be like, do you have any movies about vampires? Oh, thank you. That's it. This is good? You're telling me this is good? You promise?
I can picture you doing that shit as a child. It's fucking hilarious.
And I'd be like, you promise? This is good? This is good. It's going to scare me? It's going to scare? Okay, cool.
Yeah.
And I'm like 8 years old. Uh-huh. Seeing a movie with half neck, a brothel of vampires. It was great. And then my mom would come in halfway through me watching it going, oh my God, what are you watching? Mom, it's about vampires. It's cool.
Okay.
Well, it's too late. I'm like halfway through the movie. There was only one movie that I rented that was age inappropriate that terrified my mom, and she turned it off halfway through. Not even halfway through. I'm like right in the beginning of the credits.
Nice.
And it was Evil Dead.
Yeah, that makes sense. I can see why.
My mom saw it when it came out in a drive-thru.
Oh wow.
And it traumatized her so bad that as we're sitting there, she's like, oh, what'd you rent? I was like, I don't know, but it has that guy from that Army of Darkness movie in it. And it's supposed to be scary. And she was like, oh, okay. Thinking it's like Army of Darkness.
Yeah.
No. And we hit play and I was sitting there. I remember I had my Cheetos and I was all excited, and you see the with the camera. My mom jumps off the couch and she's like, turn it off!
Fuck this moment.
You can't watch. She actually went to the movie rental place and yelled at the lady.
Nice.
Yeah. I mean, it didn't stop. I was still like watching. She was still giving me movies like Bordello of Blood, which, you know, I saw right after that failed Evil Dead.
Nice.
But those were the good old days, man.
Yeah.
We also
forgot to mention all the like the Wes Craven movies and shit too. All the Wes Craven vampire movies that came out in like the early 2000s and shit.
Oh, like Dracula? Was it Dracula?
Like, yeah, Dracula 2000.
Dracula 2000. Well, oh, the one vampires.
Uh-huh.
Remember that was a good one.
Yeah,
that one was actually pretty good. And it had to do with them like locking themselves down in like a church area, right? And they had to like go. They bring in like a truck,
yeah.
And they drag them out into the sun.
Mm-hmm.
See, they want to stay with you forever. That means they're epic. They're legendary.
Yeah, there's a lot of good ones out there.
And forgive us for not mentioning them, but they're in there in our memory. Look, as we talk about them, they just keep popping up.
Exactly. Oh,
actually. Not Dawn of the Dead. Dust Till Dawn Part 2, The Vampires in the Bank. That was a fun one, too.
Yes, that was pretty fun.
That was a fun one, too.
Yeah, there's a lot of them out there. The one with fucking,
I honestly think Twilight is the worst vampire movie of all time.
Quite possibly.
I can't think of any vampire movie that was awful from beginning to end.
Uh-huh. Oh, isn't that one with Alyssa Milano? That's what I was thinking about. Nah.
That was like a soft porn.
That's kind of why I liked it.
Yeah, I can't call that a bad movie because that was like, that one made me feel funny in my pants. Because again, not age appropriate while watching it. What was it? Showgirls. It was Alyssa Milano's vampire movie that made me feel funny. Yeah. There was another one. Oh, the one. Oh, excuse me, guys. Sorry.
Yeah, that one I saw way back in the day when I was like young as fuck. And I was like, okay, yeah, I shouldn't be watching this, but I'm going to watch it anyway because nobody else is telling me that.
I bet it was on cable because that's where I saw it. I don't even remember renting that. I just saw it and was like,
I think it was actually on Cinemax. Look at that.
There was another one that I thought was awful, and I actually owned it, and I wish I didn't throw it away because now it's kind of like The Room.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I did not hit her. I did not. And that is the vampire movie with Nicolas Cage.
Which one is that?
Vampire, right? Hold on. I need to Google the name of it. It is awful, but like it's... I don't know. You never seen the clip where he's running down the street saying, "I'm a vampire. I'm a vampire."
Oh, my God. No, I have not.
No? Oh, my God. I thought you knew about Nicolas Cage. That one
because the thing about Nicolas Cage is, like, I have, like, a love-hate relationship with him. Like, I love some of his movies. And
so I bought this movie because it was Nicolas Cage, and it was him as a vampire, and I was a preteen. I was a tween. And it's about a guy pretty much having a psychotic break. He's not really a vampire. Oh, it's called Vampire Kiss. It came out in 1988. So I bought it at Blockbuster and was like, oh my God, a vampire movie with Nicolas Cage. This must be awesome. And it's just a weird movie. Yeah. All I remember was that he it's a psychotic episode. He's not really a vampire. He's running around with rubber vampire, you know, 5-cent teeth, screaming that I'm a vampire. He's all out in the daylight. And then I think he kills himself. He lands on his own stake.
Jesus.
And I was just like, this is garbage. And I threw it away the same thing that I bought. I watched it once.
Like, I'm done with this.
And threw it away. And for days, I heard it in my head. I'm a vampire. I'm a vampire. And decades later, thanks to like YouTube and people doing lists and etc., it came up again. And I was like, God damn it! I was sitting on a gold mine. Should have kept that movie.
I can't believe I forgot this one.
Yeah, I can't believe I tossed it. I should have given it a second chance. Hey, I was a critic diva since I was a preteen.
It's all good.
So yeah. There's that one. You should check it out. It's Kiss of the Vampire.
I'll look for that one. I gotta see that now. Yeah, so I guess that pretty much
wraps it. I think that's like all the ones I can remember.
There are tons more, of course. But yeah. I think that pretty much wraps it up, right?
Yeah, we can't add Tales from the Crypt vampire episodes. That's just not fair to everybody else. Because there's one episode. I'm going to do it anyway. I don't care. I don't know if you are a big fan of Tales from the Crypt, but I definitely am. And there is my favorite one out of all their vampire ones is the Blood Bank Vampire, who has a pet rat.
Okay, yeah, I don't think
I've... works at a blood bank.
Interesting, okay.
That's all I'm going to give. And he's, of course, a peaceful, loving vampire just trying to live a regular life, kind of like what we do in the shadows.
Interesting.
Yeah. Okay. It's just that same concept. You know, we see him wake up, get dressed to go to work as a security guard at night in a blood bank.
That's fair.
Yeah, and that's how he feeds himself. He takes a little bit here and a little bit there.
Interesting. Okay.
Mm-hmm. It was a really cool concept.
It definitely is.
But that wraps it up for today, movie fans.
Yay.
What We Do in the Shadows. Go check it out and let us know absolutely. What you think about it. Because we love it.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely love it. Like, definitely get recommended for everybody to go see.
Yes, it'll help take you out of that pit of despair that you're probably into thanks to the coronavirus.
Yeah, fuck the coronavirus.
Yeah, fuck it up its fucking ass.
Yeah, yeah.
And with that said, good night, everybody. Keep watching movies.
Yeah, yeah. Later, y'all.
You will not remember the last hour and a half of what you have just seen. You will forget the contents of this movie.